Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Terrio Media.
Success in real estate has nothing to do with shiny objects. It has everything to do with mastering the basics. The three pillars of real estate investing: attract, convert, exit. Matt Terrio has been helping real estate investors do just that for more than a decade now. If you want to make money in real estate, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit reiace.com. Here's Matt.
Hey there, Epic Investor. It's Matt Terrio from Epic Real Estate. This is where we show people how to invest in real estate with an emphasis on retiring early. This is the Epic Real Estate Investing Show, and if it's your first time here, glad you found us. Make yourself at home. And if you like what you hear, make sure you hit the subscribe button before you go. And if this is not your first time here, welcome back. And thank you for sharing this with your friends and family over the years. Just passing 10-year anniversary, all well into our 11th year. We've got our 1,000th episode coming up. And we're going to do a live event for that in celebration. But with the whole situation of the crisis, it's kind of difficult to do live events. Maybe we'll do something virtual now that I'm thinking about it. But we just got a few days. I'm just brainstorming right now. Anyway, thank you for sharing this. You're the absolute best for doing that. It certainly wouldn't be at 1,000 episodes if it weren't for you doing that. So today, joining me back again is a very successful real estate investor and educator. He's the owner of Mill Street Properties, LLC, a successful real estate investing firm, also the owner of REI Education Academy, which is a successful real estate investment education firm and publishing company that teaches their clients how to build successful real estate investing businesses. And he coaches and consults people all across the country in an effort to help them achieve true financial freedom through real estate investing. A brother from another mother, going to be right here at home at Epic. And what I like best about him, though, is he's still in the streets each and every day, taking down deals, kicking butt, taking names, and he's got his ear close to the street, and he knows what's up right now. And that's why I wanted to invite him on, right along with all of our guests this month, you know, keeping you abreast of what's going on in the new market, and how do you bob and weave and get through this thing not only surviving, but thriving on the other side. So please help me welcome to the show, Mr. Jamel Gibbs. Jamel, welcome back.
What's up, my brother from another mother? What's up, man?
What's up? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Was trying to figure out how to get some exercise in today, but the weather sucks. So
it's tough, isn't it? I mean,
man, tell me about it, man.
I've got the treadmill in the garage. I got a really nice set of dumbbells. But, man, just the motivation factor. It's hard to get out there in the garage, stare at the wall, and do it. You know,
it is, man. I was trying to get some. I did a lot of lower body yesterday, so I did probably 30 sets of squats, body weight squats,
and 30 sets.
Yeah, 30 sets.
That's like, how long does that take to complete?
I mean, it took me 45 minutes to an hour to get the full workout in. So you figure it took me. I do 30 sets of 30s on the squats. The first set is more or less, it's like 8 sets of 30 body weight. And then I get into squats and supersetting that with step ups. Then I get into squats and supersetting that with lunges. And then I did some stair sprints. I did about 10 sets of stair sprints up 50 stairs and down.
Well, no problem with the motivation over there for you then.
No, man, it's
900 reps. That's 1,000 reps.
Yeah, man, today is ridiculous, though, man. It's like, come on. I want to get outside. I want to get to the workout, get to the park, do some pull-ups and push-ups and dips. But it seems like I'm limited because of the weather. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do home today, man.
Right. Yeah, I think we're all, like, itching to bust out of Dodge and go do something.
You're looking good, man, nice and lean.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I've lost 35 pounds since January 1st.
Nice.
And I'm sure I've put on since in quarantine 5 back. It's mm-hmm. probably closer to 10, but I just won't get on the scale. I don't want to look. Just happy hour hits a little bit earlier each and every day. I was on the wagon all year, and then nothing like a crisis to spark some drinking.
Yeah, nothing like it, man. I just tightened up my diet, man. So, you know, I'm on my way back down right now. When I last saw you, I was around 220. I'm back mm-hmm. up to like 245 right now. I want to say 10 pounds of that is easily water weight. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't been killing my diet, but because I'm not as active as I was before,
right.
So, you know, I'm putting on a few, but it doesn't look bad on me. So,
right. No, you look good, dude.
Thanks,
and we're going to hit our first 100 degree day here next week. We just got our pool fixed. And so I'm like, okay, now we got to pull back on the calories.
Seriously.
Right. So cool. So we talked all about how you got started in your business the last time you were here. You can go back and search Jamel Gibbs. You can find out all about him and his history then. But I really want to talk to you about like just what's going on right now. What's going on in your business right now, and how have things changed, and what are you doing about it?
Well, I'll be honest with you, man. You know, we're probably 6 weeks into this quarantine, this whole situation. I've done better, ironically, I've done better now mm-hmm. than I've done in a long time. And, you know, to be honest with you, we were pretty active, doing a lot of deals, knocking down doors every single week. But, mm-hmm. you know, just in the last week or so, we got 7 contracts, you know what I mean? And we're pulling them in from everywhere. So right now, my primary focus, I'm not doing as many markets as I was before. I'm really focusing on my home market. But we did pull in a deal from Pittsburgh. Just this last, I want to say 3 days ago, we pulled in a deal from Pittsburgh. It's a $110,000 house. We got it for 10 grand. I couldn't believe it. So that's telling me a couple of different things. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm expected to make about 40 grand on that, because we got it up for 49.9. Mm-hmm. So you figure 10 grand to 50 grand, that's what, $40,000 in profit. Even if somebody offered me 40 grand, I'm going to take it. It's 30 grand, and I've never even seen the house. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we knocked down a couple of creative deals, which is, you know, one of my favorite strategies, which I know it's yours as well. We're knocking down an owner finance deal. But a lot of the stuff that we're getting now, just to be clear, are leads that we've had in the pipeline that we're simply going back. You know, these are people that we made offers to 3, 4, 5 months ago. We're simply going back to those same people. And believe it or not, man, some of them are even contacting us, but we're just making lower offers than what we made before. And people are just mm-hmm. taking the deals. So people are, they're understanding that it's becoming a buyer's market, but at the same time, they're aware that they need to sell now while they can still get something for their properties. Mm-hmm. I do have one deal where I negotiated, and this is a funny situation, kind of ticked me off a little bit with this guy, but we were, you know, I've been negotiating this deal with him. I had it on a contract for, you know, since last June.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was an estate situation. We had to get the probate process taken care of. I recommended an attorney. He contacted the attorney. The attorney took forever to finally get the paperwork done. I got an extension on a contract. That extension expired. That's how long it's been.
Mm.
And I tried to get another extension. I had the property on a contract for 28 grand. Now the guy's trying to raise the price on me. So what he doesn't know is I reached out to another wholesaler friend, which is, you know, we could talk about this as well, why joint venturing is so important. But this other wholesaler sells a lot of the properties that I put up on the market. If we're wholesaling, if we're doing some creative stuff, that's a whole different strategy. But in this particular instance, I contacted the other wholesaler, and I said, why don't you call this guy up and act like you're ready to buy the property? So that she called the guy up, and he's like, I need $35,000 no matter what, giving her you know, a hard time. So I said, all right, let's give it a week. Let him sit on it. And I'm in communication with him the whole time as well. So he's trying to play me against her, not knowing that we're the same people. We're on the same team. And long story short, he's trying to say, oh, I got another buyer involved. And he tried to run that game on me when he first contacted me, trying to raise the price. But, you know, at the end of the day, he doesn't know that he's dealing with the same person, no matter who he decides to go with. So even if I got to pay another $2,000 or $3,000 right now, this week, we actually got him off of the price because he was stuck on that $35,000. So I told Ashley, I said, look, why don't you contact him and offer him $30,000 and I'm going to stick to my 28. And she contacted him. He said, well, what if you do 33? We can make it happen. So we got him off a little bit. Mm-hmm. So now we're just working him down. I think we may end up at like 32,000, which I'm okay with. It's 4,000 more than what I had it under contract for. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really put down a lot of earnest money. He could keep the $100 that I gave him. I don't care. And we already have a buyer lined up for $42,000. So that's a $10,000 profit. But mm-hmm. I just don't want him to try to screw us on the front end. And right. he doesn't necessarily know that we're working together to make this happen. He doesn't mm-hmm. know that I'm involved. So this is these are things that you have to do as a real estate investor to make deals happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just one unique situation right there.
So you got a big profit, a good profit on that one and a big profit on the other. Who is your typical customer or buyer right now? Is it the same person or are you noticing a change in players?
Yeah. So you know what I'm noticing? As I'm putting my deals out, let's say on Craigslist, or I put them out to my buyers list. A couple of things that I want to mention there. Number one, people are sitting a little longer before they contact us. So let's just say I put out a deal today. It may take me where it used to take me 2 hours to get a hit, and you know people are all over the deal. Like I have one right now. It's a great deal, $250,000 home. I got it under contract for $140,000, and I put it up for $160,000. But the buy now price, and I actually market it this way, buy now for $155,000. So what I'm noticing is I had some hits within the first few days, but buyers are being a little more cautious right now. So mm-hmm. I'm actually sitting on properties a lot longer. And because of that, and I was expecting this, I'm extending my contracts out like 6 months. Mm-hmm. So like this one I have on the contract for 6 months. Nobody could do anything. So you can't come in and, you know, try to steal this deal if you wanted to, because I got it for 6 months and I'm going to record the memorandum mm-hmm. as well. Really, really important to do right now because people are going to be thirsty. But, you know, one thing that's working for me right now is lowering my offers and extending mm-hmm. my contracts out as far as possible. You may even want to put "to be determined" on the contract. I'm not sure how bad I'll hold up in court if mm-hmm. you ever had to go to court on a deal, but for the most part, try to extend it out as long as possible. And mm-hmm. also you may want to put a clause in there where, you can, you know, based off of the market's condition, the market situation, if you find that you can't close it fast enough, you may want to put a clause in your original contract. And this is something I just came up with the other day. Hey, you know, I have the right to extend this contract. I have, you know, first right of refusal to extend this contract out if I wanted to, if we, you know, upon contract expiring or something like that. You know what I mean? So that's something that we're playing around with, just kind of testing out. Look, we're taking it day by day at this point, week by week, mm-hmm. and making adjustments. The good thing is, you know, I've been through this before, not quite this situation, but like you, you know, I've been in the business since 2002. I've mm-hmm. gone through the market crash back in 07, 08, 09. You know, I wasn't prepared then. I'm basically looking at the mistakes that I made then, and I was prepped for this now because, you know, I've been talking about a market correction over the last 2 years, and it actually came a lot quicker than what we thought.
Right.
Who knows? The market, you know, at the end of the day, man, the market may bounce back, you know, but are we in a recession? I do think we are in a recession. You know, I'm not, let's not sugarcoat it. It is what it is. So we need to make the adjustments right now. Yep. So, yeah, man, we're getting a lot of contracts. You know, we got $70,000 on the plate right now for you know, over the last 2.5-3 weeks, mm-hmm. which is good. Still closing on a couple of deals, still doing what we do, and, you know, just keeping it business as usual. We're not letting the market dictate what we're able to do. We're just making adjustments. Somebody's always going to need a place to live. Somebody's always going to be buying a house at a discounted price. Somebody's always going to need some type of financing on a home on a creative side. So really, if you just keep it business as usual, yeah, we can't show houses, but we could do it virtually at this point. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're just making adjustments and making money while we're making these adjustments and learning to go on.
Cool. So some of the adjustments, because we've been talking about how to mitigate your risk in on several episodes here during, you know, there's just so much uncertainty, right? Once we're released and we kind of see how the public is going to respond and how consumer confidence comes back, or if it doesn't, then it'll be much more clear as to what to do. But what do you do right now to protect yourself? You know, extending the escrow period, I think, is great. You're extending that contract. I have a question about that in just a second. I also think, you know, a quarantine contingency. I've got that all written and prepared. I just haven't had a reason to use it yet because I've gotten the deals that I wanted. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like social media, not social media, what's the social distancing guidelines, right? So contingent on those being lifted, right? And now that we have clearly defined phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 of reopening the economy, there's nothing wrong with putting contingencies in there based on those terms, right? I know someone I was just talking to, I was on a mastermind, and they're doing cash today, 90 days to stay. So that was kind of how they're protecting themselves. And then we added an extra level of security to that. Like, I'll give you some money now because I know you need money right now. Then you can stay in the house for 90 days rent-free. And then once you move out, I'll give you the balance, which is another way to really kind of protect yourself. What did you have? One other thing in here. Extend contract. Oh, record the memorandum. I think that's really good too. That's probably more important today because people might not. I mean, they're fearful right now, and they come out of this and they might not be fearful or change their mind, or they might be disgruntled or resentful. Who knows? And pull that right out from underneath you, right? So the memorandum is good. Okay, so you said 6 months. So you're extending your contract for 6 months. What's your justification for that? Are you telling people that you're the seller that you're going to wholesale and you need 6 months?
I don't ever tell a seller that I'm going to wholesale a property.
Right. In their mind, what's your justification for the 6 months then when you ask?
We don't know what's going to happen. You know, stuff is closed down right now. Attorney's offices are closed. So we don't know. It can happen quicker than 6 months, but I need to protect my contract and know that I'm at least protected as long as, you know, this whole COVID thing is going on. So that's basically how I approach it. I've gotten like zero backlash, you know, from that. Mm-hmm. And I think people, they just understand. If you ask for it, you know, if you don't ask for it, you're never going to get it. If you ask for it, chances are, you know, knowing the social distancing thing is going on, they're all over it. They just want to sell the house. They don't care.
Yeah, you can really lean into the environment right now, and what's going on is rationalization for just about anything.
Yep. Pretty much, you know.
I've always subscribed to the idea that make the market the bad guy. It's difficult to make the market the bad guy in an appreciating market. But when you got a virus, when you got a pandemic, boy, that market is really, really bad now. And you can blame everything on them. Okay, so it's taking a little bit longer to get buyer feedback. You're seeing a little bit more caution there. And then we got how to protect ourselves. So now you're getting the deals. You're doing more than you've done. And what really deserves the credit there, I think you said, was just kind of going back through the old leads that you've already generated, right? So what does that process look like? How are you doing that?
So we're still spending money on Facebook traffic. We're still cold calling and we're still sending out direct mail and things like that. But we're not necessarily spending more money on these avenues. I know a few weeks ago, everybody was talking about double down on your marketing. I thought that was a bad idea personally. Mm-hmm. And that's because you don't know if you're double downing on your marketing. And that really, that's based off of what, you know, I'm going to be the black sheep in this whole thing, right? That's really based off of what your exit strategy is. If you're a wholesaler, double downing on your marketing while buyers are being more cautious on what they're picking and choosing to close on, you know, you could get yourself in some trouble. You know, you got more deals coming in.
Yeah, it could be a big outlay of cash through your marketing.
Who you're going to sell the deals to? That's
right,
the point.
Right.
Now, if you're doing creative investing like you and I, you know, I do wholesaling and creative investing, right? I used to do a lot of rehabbing. I even did, you know, just up until last year, we built 33 houses. I was doing a lot of new construction. I won't touch that right now. But if you're doing creative investing, yes, you can increase your marketing. You get a lot more deals because people, eventually what's going to happen is, you know, as, you know, the longer this thing sits out, you know, for every month that we're out, it's going to take 3 or 4 months to get back on track, right? That's just a fact. You know, in order for the economy, for every month that the economy is down, it takes a few months to get back on track, to get back to normal. So the longer we're out, what's going to happen is, yeah, we're, you know, people are getting forbearances on their home, their mortgages and stuff like that. But although they're getting a forbearance, the money, the back payments don't disappear. Those things will still be there. So that's going to cause a huge foreclosure problem. And at the end of the day, it's going to allow investors to pick up a lot more deals. So what's going to happen with all those people losing their homes? If you're buying creatively like you and I, that's going to leave an opportunity for us. If you're in an apartment game right now or creative investing where you're renting properties, that's, we're going to clean up. Trust me. Give it 6 months, over the next 6 to 18 months. I believe in that window. I don't have a crystal ball to tell what's going to happen, but I believe in that window, we're going to be able to really, really do some damage, man, and make a lot of money. But going back to what you were asking, so all we're doing, and I have a virtual assistant, so we're doing the good thing is we've always done everything virtually, okay? Mm-hmm. All we're doing is going back through our Podio leads and our CRM leads and calling back the people we've made an offer on. Either they turned us down or they were on the fence a few months ago and then they just disappeared off of the face of the earth. We're just getting in contact with these people. We'll send them a text message, say, hey, can you talk? You know, really generic, really broad message, not anything that's going to allow them to shut us out. You know, so, hey, you know, we spoke a couple months ago, can you talk? Rather than saying, hey, are you still looking to sell your property? That's allowing them to put their guard up, right? Mm-hmm. So all we're doing is touching base with these people. We're revisiting the conversation. Say, hey, I know we made you an offer a few months ago. As you can see, you know, I knew you were interested in selling then. But as you can see, you know, things are in a bit of a bind at this point. But just to let you know, we're still buying houses. So if you're interested, I'd like to revisit the conversation and see what we could do to help you out. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way we're taking that approach. And we picked up 7 contracts just doing that. I didn't spend any extra money on marketing. We're just following up with people who we've been in contact with. Now, you know, obviously this isn't going to work if you're brand new and you have no leads to follow up on. But if you've been doing some damage out there over the last year and doing what you got to do, then this is a great strategy to revisit those old leads. Follow up with them. If you can't get them on the phone, write them a letter. You know, get in contact with these people. And just revisit, just let them know, look, let's revisit this offer I made you a few months ago. Now, their thinking is a little different. They were in a seller's market before.
Yep.
Now, we're in a different playing field. So now the ball's in my court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I help you, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the same amount from, you know, 2-3 months ago.
Mm-hmm. No, I just... Even if the pendulum swinging back just a hair back to the buyer, it's been such a seller's market for so long. It doesn't have to swing back too much our direction to start having different conversations.
Yeah. Right? And people, honestly, Matt, you know, people are starting to contact us. They're like, hey, are you still interested at this price? Well, we can't pay that price anymore, but we can pay this price now. You know,
yeah.
We could have took that offer 2 months ago.
Yeah. See, I'm saying, we've had 3 just fall into our lap based on what you just said. I mean, people just called us. Hey, can you help me find a buyer? And I was like, tell me about it. Well, I'll take it, right? And so the other way to do that is, you know, 2 months ago, that was the price. We're in a different market now. Or it could be, you know what, it's kind of uncertain as to what's coming up. I'd be, you know, I'm willing to take that risk if you're willing to be flexible on how I actually get you that price.
I love that approach, man.
Right. And that's my favorite, because I really, because you talk about this, I mean, you kind of said it too, and I don't, we don't know what it's going to be, but I do think there's going to be a small window. Mm-hmm. It could be 6 months, even 12 months, I'd consider a small window for this type of opportunity. But I do think the economy is going to bounce back. I don't think it's going to take a long time. I don't think this is like a 5-year, 10-year plan.
No,
but,
I agree.
But it could be 12, 18, 24 months. It could be 6 months. Mm-hmm. But my point being is, to get control of as much as you possibly can right now, right, with those creative terms, and with, because I think you can get control of a lot of stuff right now with very little cash outlay.
Like almost nothing, man. Like,
yeah,
I'm exactly. signing contracts and putting a dollar down, you know, well, like, hey, go. just to make the contract valid. Here's mm-hmm. a buck. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? People
we'll
are
make it non-refundable too. How about that?
I'll buy a cup of coffee.
Right. No, but I mean, we talk about motivated sellers and you know, in the last 8-9 years, I think a lot of what I talk about has fallen on deaf ears, because being able to negotiate someone's house for just taking over payments and getting them a U-Haul truck, like yeah. that's so foreign to people in the last several years, because it just, the motivation wasn't there. But now people, you know, sadly, but lose their job. They need the cash. I need a roof. Can you just get my down payment for my apartment building and get me a U-Haul truck and you can have the house?
Yeah, man. But you know what? You know, even in a hot seller's market, I was still cranking down, and I'm sure you were as well, still killing down, taking down these creative deals as well. You know, mm-hmm. there's a motivated seller any and everywhere in any market. It doesn't matter. You just got to find them. Now,
100%. There's the key word. You just got to find them.
Yeah.
But they're going to find you is my point.
Exactly.
That's exactly, my point. Exactly.
100% agreed.
Sweet. Well, cool. So, all right. So, you said, you know, if you've been putting in some work for the last year and you got a bunch of leads, this is going to be pretty easy. Just go back and dig through it. But let's just play a game. Let's say I'm a brand new student of Jamel's and I want to get started, because this is the best time, I think, to get started is in an opportunity like this.
Yep.
As a brand new student, what are you going to tell me to do right now?
So if you're brand new and you don't have the follow-up leads, you know, you obviously have to find a way to get some leads. And I'm not going to tell you to go out there. People are cautious with the money that they're spending right now. I'm going to tell you to find some inexpensive ways to market. So what's working right now, mm-hmm. Honestly, it's going to take a little more work. What do people have on, what's the biggest commodity people have on their hands right now, Matt? And this is
time.
Time. That's it, right? You took the words right out of my mouth.
The right answer. I was nervous.
No, man, you got it. You got it, right? All so right. The biggest thing that people have on their hands right now is time. So if you don't have a large budget, go ahead and pull a list. Pull a, you know, a code violation list. You know, you might spend a little bit of money on it. Okay, so you spend $100. Take the time, cold call these people, man. Cold call them. Okay, so you can't mm-hmm. spend $3,000 this month or $10,000 on direct mail, but you can still contact people. Mm-hmm. I got a new student. He doesn't have a large budget, but he can sit there and text message people all day long. Mm-hmm. You could go to a texting service and spend $30 and send out 1,000 text messages. $30 isn't a lot of money, but if it is, you can sit there and one-off text all day long, right? Mm-hmm. Send out 250 text messages today. The whole point is get out there and do something,
right?
You know, email people. You could go to MailChimp, upload 1,000 people and send an email blast out to everybody, right? MailChimp is free for, I believe it's up to 10,000 emails a month.
Yep.
The whole point is use these strategies. It's going to take you a little more time to get it done. Fortunately, you know, if you're in the business, you have some money you can spend, you can still go out and do the postcard thing. But mm-hmm. if you're just getting started, focus on inexpensive strategies. Don't spend a lot of money. Make mm-hmm. some money before you start spending money, right? Mm-hmm. That's at least my philosophy on it, right?
Okay, so someone goes and pulls a code violation list, got a great list. I went and skipped mm-hmm. traced, I got the phone numbers, and now I'm going to cold call. What's your guidance on what that call should look like to somebody that's never bought a property before?
Never bought a property before. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, what you really want to do is let first of all, you're introducing your person. Just keep in mind when you're calling someone who don't know you from Adams, right? They don't know you from anywhere, and you're asking them to sell their biggest asset. You just got to be cautious with that conversation. So, the way we approach it is, hey, you know, this is such and such from my company LLC, and you know, we're contacting you because we've bought a couple of properties in the area, maybe one or two properties in the area over the last year, and we're looking to buy another one to two. And we see that you own this property. It seems, let's just say you're on a co-violation list. It seems like this property was potentially vacant or had some type of issue because according to the public records, we're just noticing that this property, you know, had some issues. I'm just kind of making this up off of the top of my head. But, you know, we understand that, you know, there aren't a lot of people out right now buying properties and selling properties. But just wanted to let you know, we're still in the market. We're still buying. And we are eager to buy another one or two this month. If you're interested in selling, you know, I'd love to discuss the details with you. It doesn't necessarily have to be that message, but somewhere along those lines, you know, you can kind of fix that however you want. But the approach is, hey, you know, we're investors in the area, we're local, and you know, we're still out here buying. You know, we've bought a couple of properties. If you haven't, don't say that part. You want to be truthful. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're investors in the area. We're just looking to buy another one to two properties, and notice that you had this property, and you know, it's right in the vicinity of where we're looking. Are you interested in potentially discussing an offer? Something like that, you know?
Great. Yeah. I mean, I think it could be really simple, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we're local investors. We're still buying. I like using the word still, right? Because a lot of people, that suggests most people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And then just ask the question.
Yeah. You know what? One more thing before we move on. Driving for dollars is huge right now too. So yeah, it's a time thing, but even if you don't do it, train somebody else to do it for you. But again, we're talking about if you're brand new, don't want to spend a lot of money, drive for dollars, pick up the phone and call people, send one-off text messages. You know, the thing that's going to cost you the most money is the list. That's it. And skip tracing.
Yep. Yeah. Sweet. Well, cool. Jamel, being an educator, I know that you know, when you are, you know, actually notice that there's a lot of trainers and educators and gurus all over the place. And
it came out of nowhere, man.
Say again?
Was that? Came out of nowhere.
I know.
A lot of them came out of nowhere, man.
There's a new one in my feed every single day. I see him. I was like, oh my gosh, here's another. You can see that on Amazon too. I was like, another book on wholesaling? And anyway, so what's one piece of information or advice that you hear being given that just makes you cringe every time you hear it?
Honestly, man, it was the double down on your marketing, you know, just a few weeks ago. I think that, you know, and I could be wrong. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I just have 19 years of experience and, you know, I've done this a long time, but you know, some people agree with me. Some people don't. I get it. But it was, I think that was kind of misleading only because if you know, just for the reasons we spoke about, if you double down and there's nobody to sell the properties to, you're going to be hurting yourself. You know, should you double down on following up? Absolutely. Cause it doesn't cost you anything to do that.
Right.
There are other ways to get leads. You don't have to spend, you know, if you went from 5,000, now I'm going to spend $10,000 a month. That's just stupid. You know, in my opinion. So that's one thing that I would say I was against. You know,
right. Well, there's another side of it. And I understand what you're saying.
It is.
And that's that's actually a bigger conversation. Is wholesaling going to be more difficult now than it was then? I don't think so. Okay. So
I think it's going to balance out.
Because we can't have the best of both. We can't have both worlds. If the buyers aren't going to be buying like they used to, and we don't want to market because we might not be able to have anyone to sell it to, then what is the future of wholesaling that you see?
I think honestly, and not to cut you off a second ago, but I think honestly, it's going to balance out. People are going to figure it out. We just got to give it another 60 to 90 days to see, you know, what type of traction or what history can we look at over a 90-day period to see what's happening in the market, then make the adjustment. Then you can boost your numbers back up. But in the very beginning, I mean, it was literally a week into the quarantine, and they're like, double down on your marketing. I'm like, how are you going to, you don't know what's going to happen over the next 30 days. Give it a 90-day window, see who's buying over the 90 days, and then you can kind of adjust from there. Then you could, quote unquote, pivot is a, they call it pivot these days, and that's like a popular keyword that everybody's using. But then you can make the adjustment and boost your marketing back up, because now you have a proven track record of who's buying.
Right.
Don't do it as soon as the quarantine starts. That's just stupid.
You know? All right. Well, you did say something that was like, if you're a wholesaler, if you're a one-trick pony, there's probably a lot of validity to what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm.
But if you're a creative investor, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, exactly. Because my perspective was, all right, so we know based on the people that you and I know together that run marketing companies and direct mail companies and digital platforms and stuff like that, they lost about 60% of their business almost right away when this quarantine happened. Everyone stopped.
Absolutely, yep.
So all of a sudden, it's more room out there, less crowded. Then we've also noticed that the clicks have plummeted as far as price point. So it's cheaper and it's less crowded. I'm like, that's where I'm like, I'm doubling down because I want to control as much as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. But from your perspective of what you're just saying, of if you're just a wholesaler, then there's some logic there as well.
Just to clarify, I am only talking to wholesalers when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't affect me because I do creative deals just like you as well.
Right. Right.
So
I just clarifying there because I think there's a point to both sides.
I do want to be clear to that. Yeah, clear on that, because if you're wholesaling, that's going to cause a problem. But that's why you can't be a one trick pony, man.
Yep.
No. And that's the problem with a lot of people. Now. No, you cannot. Even to me, even in a hot market, somebody is going to want to sell creatively, right? Mm-hmm. But the whole point is, you know, if you're only wholesaling ever, I think that's a bad business model. You need to have more than one way to purchase a property.
Yep. I totally agree with that. I've been saying that from the get-go. You're going to drive yourself.
I love it.
You're going to be overworked. And
that's why you're my boy, man.
You know what? What did you say?
I said, that's why we're boys, man.
That's right. Yeah, because, that'll keep you enslaved. That's just a high-paying job that you'll never be able to quit.
Yes, sir.
Cool, man. So what else? What did I miss? Did I miss anything? What's new? What are you looking forward to most, and what are you doing to take advantage of that opportunity?
I'm looking forward to all of the creative deals that's going to come on the market and just allow me to create even more cash flow every month.
Mm-hmm.
In order to create that, in order to prepare myself, which we've been doing already anyway, but in order to really prepare for it, we're just specifically asking the people, look, you know, how would you like to make some money every month on this property? You know, that type of, we're taking that approach right off the bat, and we're still able to pay them a decent amount for the property. But, you know, more and more people are looking for creative solutions to sell their properties today. So all we're doing is taking advantage of it, man. And just cranking out, just keeping our marketing going, cranking out as many offers as possible, and just keeping it as business as usual, really, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, totally agree. I think for anyone that wants... Go ahead.
I was going to say, a few months ago, we spoke about some goals that I had, man. My goals aren't the same anymore. I think we spoke right after that, you know?
Mm.
My goals changed, you know?
Right.
It changed right with the economy. But I'm not going to be able to do the same numbers. Mm-hmm. I might be able to get close to it, but I doubt it, you know. But we're still going to be able to have a healthy year. That's what counts.
Yeah, no, totally. I think you're going to do better quality numbers, Jamel. You might not do volume. You might not hit the number that you wanted. But I think, you know, anyone that's focused on taking advantage and controlling as much property as they can, using their creative structures to do it, can create enough cash flow. I mean, the next 6 to 12 months, I think anyone that wants to do it can replace their day job's income.
That's right, man. I 100% agree.
And that's what I mean by like the potential for not the big number that you might have been shooting for. And I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about anyone that had like a big goal for this year to make a lot of money. I think you make better quality money. You can make the stream of money right now. And that's ultimately what everyone is chasing anyway, is to have that freedom. And I think that opportunity right now exists but greater than it has in the last decade. So
agreed.
That's where I'm at. And nothing excites me
no
more
argument than watching there,
people
man.
Set themselves free. Say again?
I said no argument for me, man.
You
hit the right on the head, brother.
Right? I got to bring some people on that will argue with me, though, because this is getting kind of...
I'm trying, man, but it's hard to.
I just bring on everyone that agrees, apparently. But, but it was funny. I had a guy on from Fargo, and this was good. I'm so glad I had him on. He was introduced to us. You know Chris Arnold, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chris Arnold introduced me to him. Eric Hatch, a real estate agent out of Fargo, North Dakota. And he's making a lot of investor offers as part of his listing presentation or his listing process. And he actually thinks he's looking at the MLS numbers of how listings have come down 40%, but the pendings have only come down 20%. And so he thinks that actually translates to being a stronger seller's market when we come out of this. And I was like, wow, that's the first angle I heard from there. But it just kind of shows that, you know, real estate is very local and we're all experiencing something different in our worlds and a difference of opinions, and being able to pull all that together and make the best decisions for yourself, I think is what this is why we do what we do.
That is interesting, man. The numbers don't lie, man. So
totally,
you never know what's going to happen. I do think it's going to be a stronger market. I don't know if it's going to be a stronger seller's market, but it's going to be a stronger market. Mm-hmm. For everybody when we come up out of this thing.
This is what we do know. There's going to be a lot of real estate exchanging hands.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely. You just want to be in the middle of that.
Yep, I'm trying to keep up with you, man.
Oh, you blow me away. But anyway, sweet. So we good? Do this again in 3 months and compare notes again?
Let's do it, man. I love these calls, man. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. Super. All right. So if you found this episode valuable, there's a really good chance that you probably know someone else who would as well. And when that person's name comes to mind, feel free to share this episode with them and then ask them to click the subscribe button when they get here. And I'll take great care of them. All righty. Jamel, peace, God bless, health to you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, brother.
All right. That's it for today. God loves you. So do I. Peace, health, blessings, and success to you. I'm Matt Terrio, living the dream.
Yeah, we got the cash flow, huh? Yeah, we got the cash flow. Yeah, we got the cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got the cash flow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.